you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, our strength, our ability. Thank you, Lord. We draw close with our hearts in full assurance of faith. We set our focus on you in the days where there are so many distractions, so many things pulling at our minds and hearts. We fix our hearts and minds on you, Jesus. Just look away from everything around you, everything going on. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. Just fix your eyes on him, the triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just lift your hands to him and honor him and say, Jesus, I thank you that you're reigning. You're reigning right now. You're not going to reign. You already reign over all. Jesus Christ is Lord over every power, every principality, every name that is named, every disease, every sickness, every trouble, every circumstance. Jesus reigns. Come on, let's lift up his name. Your name is wonderful. Your name is Counselor. You are the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of your government and peace, there will be no end. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Let's just give him a clap offering this morning. Offer him. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Lord, we clap you. We applaud you. You are the great King over all the earth. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We don't look to anyone else to give us the faith that we need for this day that we have to live. So we look away from ourselves, from others, and we look to you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Fresh faith in Jesus' name. Would you take your seats? And if you're at home, get comfortable, but get your Bible or your tablet, whatever you're using today. And we're going to get straight into the Word of God. Thank you, team. Wonderful time of worship. And as Pastor Andrea said, I'm sorry we're at a distance visually this morning, but stick with us because I believe that there is a word to bless you. Today, God has a word that will release blessing. When God speaks his word, there's a power that comes with it, a grace that comes with it. And so it's a joy to know that I have a word from God for you. A word from God for you personally. So I just believe that things are going to happen as a result of listening to his word, either online or here live. 2 Kings, if you have scriptures, 2 Kings. And it's one of my favorite stories of the Old Testament, but God's been speaking to me new things from it. Isn't it amazing how you can know a story and then go back to it and the Lord speaks something completely new and fresh from it? And we're looking into a situation where an individual lost her husband and was in debt and was about to lose her children. So we're talking about an economic and emotional crisis. And I love it that the word brings about real scenarios where God steps in, where God does something. So in a world today that needs help, or in your life and whatever you're going through, God wants to step in to that situation, in your family, financially, employment, whatever the need. Your Heavenly Father loves you and he wants to step in. But there are secrets and there are what I call the laws of the kingdom, the way that God operates, that we must understand, otherwise we won't see God step in. And so scripture's very clear about how to see the power of God at work in your life personally. And it's so simple. I don't think I can read the whole thing, but if you read it later, yeah, we're going to start in verse 1. I'll read a few verses. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't just gather a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door and behind you and your sons, and then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, basically what happened is she did this, and the little bit of oil in that jar went and filled every vessel that she had available, every vessel that she collected. And she was able to pay her entire debt. Are you listening? Pay her entire debt. That's a miracle. Pay her in. Is anybody listening this morning? Pay her entire debt and live on the rest. How many of you want to see all debts paid and living on the rest? Lovely. Okay, so we are in the room and at home. So this is a real life situation. And she comes to Elisha because she thinks she's got the ear of this man of God. You see, her husband worked for him, and he was in the school of the prophets. And he was really good at prophesying. It's something that he excelled in. But isn't it interesting? You can be really good at one thing in God and not be really good at another. How many of you know that? You can excel in one area, but God wants us to develop and grow all areas. And you can see the problem. The home life, the financial life, wasn't working. And so God wants to do a miracle. And Elisha is approached because he's the kind of human representative of the Lord. And I think this woman was looking for Elisha to get his wallet out. Maybe she needed 5 grand. I don't know. Maybe Elisha had it. Who knows? Because if we kind of asked people in the room, somebody came to you and said, do you have 5 grand? There would have been a few in the room that could say, yes. Some of you would say, would love that. But maybe Elisha had it. But Elisha was seeing the first issue in seeing a miracle is to not look at somebody else as the source, but to look to God. And in our day, in this time, in this age of what's going on in our world, the only place a Christian should be looking isn't to a person, isn't to an employer, isn't to your business, it isn't to the government, it isn't to your investments, it's to the Lord. And so Elisha bats it right back and almost seems rude. What do I have to do with that? But I believe Elisha knew and had compassion on the woman, but wanted her to win. It's obvious he wanted her to win. But it's always better to teach someone to fish than give them a fish. It's always better to know how to operate in faith in a particular area of need than to have a handout. Why? Because that 5 grand would not go the distance. But faith will last you all the way through your life. If you learn how to operate by faith, then that's what will work all the way through your days. So Elisha, full of compassion, but vision beyond the moment, says, what have you got? Not what have I got. Not what has God got. But what has you got? What have you got in the house? So she starts by getting her focus off people, and then God directs her to look at what she actually has. And she comes up with this negative comment, "I've got nothing but." Have you ever said that about your life? "I haven't got anything except." And the diminishing words, the negative words about what you actually have, are how you see what you have. And it's not enough. You know, you can do this in a marriage. You can do it in family life, relational life. You can do it with friendships. You can say, "I haven't got enough." You can do it at work. "I just don't have what it takes." You can do it with your gifts, your talents. You can do it with Christ in you. Yeah. Should we be honest? And she starts to speak negatively about what she actually has. And as soon as you start to speak negatively about what you have, the blessing of God isn't on that thing. Because actually, it's almost a curse. No, but none of us would want to curse what we have, do we? Now, this is a really interesting thing, because if you look at the miracle of multiplication of the bread and fish that Jesus did to feed the 5,000, it says the disciples were asked, "What do you have?" And they had 2 fish, 5 loaves. And they said, "It's not enough." So they were speaking. Anybody here? Because this is a law of faith. They were speaking, "This isn't enough. This isn't enough." Jesus took the bread and the fish, and the scripture says, if you read the story, he looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven and he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Now, this is the other key that we're looking at to operate in faith. He took the little, and that Hebrew word which defines he looked to heaven means he looked again. He looked twice. I love that. Because the first look was 2 and 5. The second look was the more than enough that God has. He looked again at what he had with a heavenly perspective, with the eyes of faith. And just like the widow, Elisha was trying to say, we need to have another look at what the little you have. Because the little you have, with looking again with heaven's perspective, becomes something supernatural. So Jesus looked again. It's a bit like Abraham. When he saw his body, his age, he saw he wasn't able to produce a child. It says his body was as good as dead. Let me tell you, as good as dead is still an opportunity for God. I love that. I've sometimes felt situations or circumstances have felt as good as dead. But with God, nothing is impossible. But Abram knew how to operate in faith because he knew how to fish. He knew how to get a miracle working. And so Abraham looked again, not at himself, but at the promise and the faithfulness of God. He looked again. God had promised this, and he was able to do it. He looked twice, naturally, and God can. And I would suggest to you, in every situation you don't think there is enough, God says, look again with another look of faith at God and his ability to change things. When Jesus visited his hometown, Nazareth, and everybody looked at him and said, carpenter. I can look around this room because I get the blessing of seeing people in the room. I can't see you, but I can see these guys. And there's a nurse here, there's a businessman here, there's teachers here, there's mums, there's dads, there's all kinds of different kind of people here. There's even pastors. And you know, Jesus was set in the mind already of the people who'd grown up with him. And people looked at him and said, "Carpenter." He was very skilled at his work. He was 30. He was 30 when he went into the ministry. That means he could fix anything, Jesus. Your door, your window. He could put the roof on. He was skilled. And so they didn't like it when Jesus came different. Because he had been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And he had a different ability, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would suggest to you, looking out here, that all of you have been baptized in the Spirit. And if you're not, it's time to be. So the same Spirit that Jesus had. But people defined Jesus because they saw him as a carpenter. But a few saw, he's the anointed one, the healer. And they got healed. Isn't it interesting? If you look again, even at your life, you can see that you're far more than what you're defined as with your job, your status, your contacts, your resources, your gifts. You're far more than that. When Jesus looked again to heaven, he blessed them, blessed it. He blessed the little. The disciples had cursed, but Jesus spoke blessing. Jesus spoke blessing. And there is power in the tongue to bless what God says to bless. It's time we started blessing the little so that it multiplies. It's time we saw ourselves with a different look, our circumstances with God. God, the awesome one who is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. So don't say, it's just me. It's nothing but. I can't. I haven't got the education. I haven't got the contact. I haven't got the right kind of training. Say, I'm looking to you, Lord. I look to you in this situation where I'm worn out, and I speak blessing over the little that I do have, seemingly, because you're going to multiply it. And that act changed everything. And Jesus saw the multiplication principle of faith at work, like we're supposed to be seeing. That's his plan. And this is his plan for the widow. Quit cursing yourself and start speaking blessing. How many of you, you're hardest on you? Is anybody in the room? You're really hard on yourself. Start speaking blessing. How many of you have a job that you haven't been all positive about? Start speaking blessing. Hello? How many of you are part of a church that you've had, no, not you? Start speaking blessing. Bless and it will multiply. It will grow. God will do what you cannot do with the little that you have. What a great word, isn't it? And then she was to pour out what she had, use what she had, and begin to act in faith. Just like Jesus did with the disciples, go and do it. Go and give it. Give it away. This is the principle of faith, particularly faith for provision. And I'm going to stand here and say, you'll always have more than enough when you use God's ways and principles of faith. I would not be found in the crowd who don't tithe. Not today. This is not a day to rely on yourself. It's a day to rely on God. It's a day where we need God. Hello? And offerings. I remember God recently spoke to me through this, and he said, I want you to take another look at something you did 25 years ago. And that was really encouraging and amazing, because when we first began in full-time traveling itinerant ministry, God told us to sow everything we had, which was only £500. So that was it. It was going to click. I thought it was for the rent. The Lord said, no, it's for an offering. It wasn't my tithe. That's a given for me. But it was an offering on top. So we agreed. It was a shock. And we agreed that we were going to sow this £500. And look in wonder. Wonder where? Asking God to do a wonder. And so we sowed it. And the Lord said to me, look again at that £500. Did you ever not have more than enough from that moment? We've never not. We've paid every bill on time. I drove out of my house this morning. When we came down here, we didn't own a house, didn't have anything. And God enabled us to get a deposit for a house. I mean, it's a miracle. Some of you have seen the same miraculous power of God. But maybe we need to take another look at why. Why is there a supernatural flow of provision? Because there is this faith principle. The little we have, it wasn't enough to live for the rest of the next year, next month on. But we gave it, and God blessed it and multiplied it, and it began a multiplication process where it's still producing today. Because if you sow something even 25 years ago, it's still working in the earth for the glory of God. Isn't that exciting? And tithing, it's a no-brainer. And 1 Corinthians 16, I think it's really interesting what Paul says. He says, be consistent, be regular. Set aside at the beginning of the week what you're going to give. Isn't that interesting? In other words, it's a consistent discipline in your life. Not erratic. Because I believe that consistency, God opens the windows of heaven. He rebukes the devourer. How many of you would like the devourer rebuked? Do you know what a devourer looks like? Snaps up everything you have. Let's not have one. He rebukes the devourer for our sake. And I'm just talking about financial stuff here. But these faith principles, the little you have. Look to the Lord again in faith at what God can do. Speak blessing over it and start to act in faith. Do something with the little you have. Another thing, God's really stirring me up with praying in tongues. So many Christians just see tongues as a sign they're baptized in the Spirit, tick a box, but they don't access the power. Because if you pray in tongues, your faith will be built up and the power of God will start to operate differently in your life. Jude says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The little gift God multiplies. But Christians don't use what they have. They forget they've got it. I've got nothing but tongues. Oh, I can speak in tongues, but I don't. And it's not pouring it out that then multiplies and brings added blessing into your life. What an amazing way to see the power of God in operation. You see, we're in a time where God wants to show himself to be who he's always been. But he's revealing the ways to see that happen. The ways to see it happen. Because God's got a plan for your life that you will have abundance and life and fullness in every area. But it doesn't stop there. Because God wants to bless somebody else. Doesn't just want to bless us. And I think that's why this story, you know, it's about personal blessing, but we know we've been called to bless others. And Pastor Andrea began with a scripture from 2 Corinthians this morning. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. The widow had a jar with oil in it. Your human body carries the Holy Spirit. Think of it. Think. Meditate on that. We have this treasure in, not outside of us, in. Where's the Holy Spirit? In us. Why? What's the reason? To show that the all-surpassing power might be God, not us. To show God off. To say, wow. You know, this widow would have been, it would have been such a story going around. She was about to lose her children. She was in terrible need. But God did a miracle. But he did it because she looked at what she had and started to use what she had. And I think we need to really keep looking at what we already have. At work, at home, wherever we are, what do we have? The all-surpassing power. It's superior than any other power. And God wants to work through your faith in your life to others, that the power will show that it's God, not you. And great if you're strong in the gifts of the Spirit, or if you're strong in financial blessing, but let's grow and be strong in healing the sick, raising the dead. Let's grow and go beyond what we've ever done before. Because it's a day where the Spirit and power will be released through his church. You are the one through whom God will show himself all powerful. We have this treasure. The word all-surpassing power is the dunamis power of God. And that dunamis word means dynamite. The dynamite power of God. Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive dunamis. That's the force, the ability of God. Say it over yourself. I've got the force and the ability of God. I've got God dynamite. I've got God dynamite. But we can be like the widow and say, I've got nothing but. And we must really start to activate what we've already got. It's not a question of getting something from God. It's the law of use. It's starting to use what we've already got. Pick up the gift of tongues. Pick up the power of God and say, hang on a minute. I've got power to heal the sick, to cast out demons. I've got power to see God's kingdom advance wherever I walk, wherever I go. This dunamis power. I'm just going to finish with this. When Jesus sent his disciples, he sent 70. In Luke 10, he sent 70 disciples out. I think that's really interesting. It had gone from 12 up to 70. Imagine just 70 this week going out. Imagine you. I mean, there are at least 70 currently listening. And there'll be more later. Imagine all of us doing this. Jesus sent the 70 out before him because he was about to come in. I think that's really interesting. We ask God to move and he says, you move. You move and I'll move. So in other words, evangelism is less waiting for God to move and us going and then God will move. That's what that is. Go into all the world as you go about your daily business, as you go about the people you meet in your office, as you go about online, whatever you're doing. Jesus is about to come in. You're making a way for Jesus to come in. And the first thing he says to do, he says, as you go, speak peace. Peace to this house. Isn't that amazing? He says, bless them with peace. Walk up and down your street and bless the people with peace. Why? Because there's an impartation of the oil coming out of your spirit and on them. That's the Holy Spirit like a river flowing out of your mouth. Speak peace at home. Peace at school. Peace in the workplace. Don't preach the gospel first. Reign in the spirit realm. Because peace changes the demonic ruling atmosphere and brings the reign of Jesus. So speak peace. And as you, isn't it interesting when there was chaos in that storm and the wind and the waves were surging and wanting to sink them? This is before they went to reach one person. It's amazing what kicks off when you start out to reach a person for Jesus. What did Jesus do? Rebuke the evil behind that storm and speak peace. Peace came and they arrived and brought peace to one person. I believe we are atmosphere rulers. The church, the called out ones, in place to rule. We think we've just got a little bit of peace, but it's God's peace. It's just a little word, I speak peace. I haven't got much. But if I just say it, well, more than what you think is happening. If you start speaking peace, people's minds and hearts will come to peace. Addictions will be broken. The reign of Jesus will come into people's lives. And find someone who's open to peace. Not everybody is. Not everybody wants Jesus. It's our job to speak peace anyway. To bring the reign of peace and bless people. Blessing changes curse. Speak blessing. And then if someone's open, start to share and say, what can I do for you? Jesus wants to meet your needs. Is there anything I can do for you? Isn't it interesting? It's so opposite. Start to give and things will open up for the gospel. But wait, if we're waiting on God to move, we're going to have a long wait. That's the principle of the widow, and it's the principle that Jesus has for his church. You have received power. What are you doing with it? Well, I've just got a little anointing. We'll start using it and it'll magnify, it'll grow. Things will start to happen. I've just got a little bit of finances. Well, what could you believe God for? And it says not just a few, many have a vision for the God who is more than enough to come and bless. We're here to reverse the curse and bring the blessing of God. And we're here to do it God's way. What do you have? That's the question Jesus wants to finish this morning with, this word. What do you have in your house? Resources, you're looking God, do this, God, do this. Sometimes it's so important we just start to look at what do I already have that God wants me to pick up and start to look again at what I have with the more than enough of God in this situation. Look up. Look to heaven. Look twice. Not just natural. Look with heaven's perspective and start speaking blessing over what you have. And God himself will show his all-surpassing power. And you know, you might be sitting there thinking, I've never felt so weak. Brilliant. I will boast about my weaknesses. That the power of Christ will rest upon us. Jesus didn't want us to be strong in ourselves. He wanted us strong in the Spirit. Strong in God. Strong in faith. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful word, a promise, a vision, a hope for your future. That if you felt like you've run out and you're in debt in any area of your life, financial, emotional, spiritual, the Lord says, take another look. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that comes through your word, that you love us enough to teach us your ways. And your ways are always taking a second look at what is possible with our God. In every need, thank you, Lord, you are more than enough. In every situation, there is a promise, even if we feel as good as dead. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that there is a way of financial release through taking another look, not just at what we have, but what has been sown over the years, Lord. We thank you it's still producing now. Thank you, Lord, for our offerings, the tithes, that we show our faith in you, that you're the God who provides, and you're the supplier of seed and bread. The seed to sow and the bread to eat. Thank you, you provide for your people your way. And Lord, I pray for the wisdom that is in your word to be released into the whole of your church. That while we look to the heavens, you're saying, look, take another look, Christ is in you. Take another look. I've given you gifts. The gift of tongues. Take another look, guys. Take another look at the peace that you can release over those you work with, your friends, your family. Just let have another look at things and speak blessing. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we all speak blessing. We ask you to forgive us for cursing and speaking negatively about our lives, about what we have or we don't have. And we just want to look with the eyes of faith and start to speak blessing. Lord, the little bit that we have this week, as we look to you, as we go out into this week, into our days, thank you, Lord, that you will bless it. And you will multiply it. And you will make it more fruitful. Thank you, Lord, the little bit as we pour out and we give relationally. We give to others and we start to speak blessing and peace. Thank you, your kingdom of peace will come. Demons will be subdued. And the life of Jesus and the kingdom will start to bless people's lives. Lord, thank you. We are here to reverse the curse and bring the blessing of God in this generation. Thank you, Lord, we're kingdom advancers. Thank you, Lord, that we forcefully advance this week in the ways you've taught us. And Lord, receive all the glory because all this power, this dunamis, it shows that you're God. and not us. Thank you, Lord. Ah, we've been blessed. Amen. By the word of faith this morning. The life and power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord blesses his people with wisdom. The wisdom that comes from his word. Take an inventory prayerfully at what you have and start to put it to work in the way God wants you to. Pick up the gift of tongues. Don't be weak spiritually. Be strong. Pray in tongues because the power of the Spirit. You know, it's your Spirit that gives life to every part of your being. May you live strong in God. That's the purpose. And may you see the blessing multiply and bear fruit. God bless you online and you here. May the Lord strengthen and bring his word to pass in your life. Be blessed.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.